Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary. It's the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson. And of course, I am here with host number dose, Mr. KC Clapp.
Well, that's me, Alex. Thanks for having me. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here. I don't know how we find time every week.
You know what? Sometimes we don't, Case.
That's true, and we find extra time in other weeks.
That's right.
Speaking of, we did that last week, the week before, and the week before.
Yeah, we've had a busy couple weeks.
Yes, we have. And you know what? I'm really happy about it. I feel the best when we're busy, and we are in the middle of it, but kind of on the front end. It's almost like we're surfing on a wave of work.
Yeah.
Where we're not getting engulfed by the wave. We are on top of it, moving with it, at the speed of sound.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I'm pretty sure that's how fast waves move.
The speed of sound.
To be very clear. Maybe I'm just trying to really add in as much audio medium propaganda as I can in
sure.
this.
Sure. I mean, I'll probably add some This American Lifestyle sound effects. Do they still do sound effects?
You're thinking Radiolab.
Radiolab.
Yeah. This American Life, it's more just like, hi.
It's like the two podcasts I know.
This is Casey Clapp.
Besides Doughboys.
We're talking again about a tree.
Casey, you and I are both kind of gearing up for going out of town. This is what That's happens. Right. We plan trips.
Yeah.
We had the good fortune of owning our own business so that we get to sort of make our own schedule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With that comes, you know, well, you can't just leave and no work gets done.
There's a lot of responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah.
You don't have someone else over there being like, hey, we're gonna take care of this podcast when you guys are gone. Is that okay?
Right, we don't have a team of people making this show, unfortunately, it's just you and me.
Yeah, well, no, they come and go. They come and go, yeah.
But anyway, I'm going on a trip.
We fire a lot of people.
That's true. The turnover is crazy. I am going on a trip. You are going on a trip. You just got back from a trip. We're just doing lots of things.
All the time.
But you know what? For the next hour and 15 minutes, probably more like an hour and 30, I, all we have to do right now is talk about a tree.
And be present here.
That's right.
On this microphone.
Yeah.
With you.
Be here now. And and we're going to be here now in order to talk about the Canary Island Laurel. What are you laughing at?
I was really hoping you could say, and in order to be here now, we are going to see you in a second.
We have to go to a break.
There's a break right there.
No, we're talking about the Canary Island Laurel, Casey.
That is true, yes. And that is the name that I have chosen to use for this. So apologies to everyone who is looking on your feed and you see now Canary Island this and Canary Island that.
You might also know this tree as the Portuguese Laurel.
You actually probably don't.
Okay, never mind. I take it back.
Now, all right, this is a little bit into it. This is going to be explanation for you, for me, and for everybody else.
And then we're going to go to break.
So I initially heard about the trees that we're talking about from some friends that visited Tenerife, I think, either Tenerife or Madeira, islands that are off of the coast of Africa and very southern Europe, Portugal. Mm. And they said, it's this really cool, amazing forest. So I was like, okay, I'm going to look this up. And I started Googling it, and it's this Laura Silva.
Right. Laurel Forest.
Exactly. Literally speaking. So I was like, okay, it's got to be a laurel. Oh my God. Is this like what Portuguese laurel grows like when it's not a dumb hedge on the side of, you know, things on, you know, our roads?
Did you almost call it a dumb shit?
I might have.
This tree's a dumb shit.
Anyway, so I was like, okay, well, what tree is this?
Yeah.
And I had this in my heart. I was hoping it was going to be a redemptive quality about the Portuguese laurel.
Wow.
Which we actually know scientifically as Prunus lusitanica, which is, it's a cherry laurel is what they're
called. The Lucifer cherry.
It's the Lucifer cherry.
Devil's cherry.
That's what we had this entire day, like, ready to go for.
That was the last we spoke.
Exactly.
That was the latest update.
Then I went off, did some research, and said, we got to make sure we get this right. I'm not just going to research a tree and be like, yeah, it grows on that island. End of story. Now, it does grow on this island, or these islands. However, the trees that we are really talking about are true laurels.
Wow.
Of which there are three.
Three species of laurel?
Three species of true laurel. And barely even that. We used to think there's just two, and this was a subspecies of one.
Is this like a true cedar thing where it's like, these are the actual laurel in the family of laurels or whatever? Okay.
You got that exactly right. Yeah. So there's laurel, which is in Laurus. You probably are familiar with the bay laurel, that one you put in your soups and things.
Sure.
Laurus nobilis. That is the one that's the Linnaeus named archetype.
That is laurel. Okay.
Yes. Now, there are two very closely related species that exist. One is the one that we are talking about here today, otherwise known as the Canary Island laurel or Laurus novocanariensis.
And the other one
is Laurus azorica, which is of the Azores.
Wow. So the Portuguese laurel is not a real laurel.
It is not true a real laurel. Exactly. But we use laurel. It's a huge family. Like, there's a bunch of things. In fact, what, eucalyptus is in the laurel family?
Right. And it's like, it's one of those families that has like a bunch of other types of plants too.
Yeah. But for whatever reason.
Like rose.
But this is different in that we always call them laurels, even though they're not that. It's kind of like orchids. There's things in the orchid family. There's things that are orchids, but there's so many different genre of orchids where there's no like true orchid that's like orchid something, you know, like Cedrus. Yeah, right, exactly. There's true cedars in the genus Cedrus, but there's no like very closely related cedar like things that are essentially cedars but different like this really weird way. There are the three species of true laurels in the genus Laurus that every other thing that we call a laurel is named after.
Interesting.
But a lot of those are also in the laurel family.
Well, this is just typical, isn't it?
It's just goddamn typical.
So we'll be talking about the Canary Island laurel today, class.
Yes.
But we must do so after a break. We will be right back with Completely Arbitrary. Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts, so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers, without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees, get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-bloomin'. Those people are a-walkin' around. That sun is a-shinin'. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee, ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back. I want my welcome back, welcome back. Welcome
I was back. Like, yeah, that sounded really good.
Today, we are talking, to Completely Arbitrary, by the way.
Yes, yeah, so we are talking to Completely Arbitrary. Completely, completely. It's so good to see you again. How is your family?
Casey, today we are talking the Canary Island Laurel.
Yes.
Which grows on the Canary Islands.
It does. Very well done.
Along with the Canary Island palm that we talked about last week.
Yes. And for those of you in LA, you all have been waiting for us to say pine. We are not talking about the Canary Island pine.
Right. Another time. Maybe we'll do a trilogy and talk about all these three in a row.
Now, it's almost as if Alex is inside my brain. We're just going to talk nothing about any other islands for the next month. Strictly Canary Island.
A little behind the scenes there. Yeah. Casey, let's imagine, as we do every episode, that you and I are trekking through the jungle on the Canary Islands. You're having a great time. I am on death's door, and we come across some Canary Island laurels. Let's ID this tree.
Okay, I'm glad you asked. So this is, as we said, Laurus novocanariensis, which in Latin really just means new canariensis.
Okay.
So novo homus is what you would be called if you were a new man in ancient Rome.
Hmm.
It just means essentially you either pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. So You were just like, yeah, I had nothing and now I am a senator.
Or you got a divorce.
Yeah, you are now Novo Homus. Well done.
You're a new man.
Yeah. So it's really fun to think about that. So you see it in Latin, Novo Canariensis. It kind of really, it's kind of frustrating because I would say Novo Canariensis is like, it's the new Canary Island Laurel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, where's the old one?
Where's the, yeah, is it the old Laurel from the Canary Islands or is this the new Canary Island and this is the tree that grows on that?
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, there's two different ways to interpret that.
Yeah, it depends on where the comma is.
Yeah. So I personally believe that they named it that because they're basically saying, yeah, this is a new species that's different from the Azor species.
I got you.
That's what my thought is.
Okay.
But either way, it is a species of tree that is in Laurus. As we noted, that is the family of the true laurels. Now, the thing about true laurels is that they are generally small, multi-stem trees.
Okay.
I'll give you an example.
Like shrub-like.
Yeah, shrub-like. They send up kind of multiple shoots that have not one stem that's connected and branches very low. They usually have multiple new stems that come up from the ground in like a little grouping.
Interesting.
There's a really great one at Hoyt Arboretum where the tree itself is probably maybe 15 or 20 feet tall. Mm. It creates a really nice dense shade underneath it. It's a beautiful little tree, but as you get closer to it, you realize it's just many new stems that are all coming up doing this one thing.
Interesting.
So in terms of it being a tree, 90% of the time, I don't know if we could quite get it there. You and I, we just went to our favorite, essentially Arbitrary Pod sponsored shop across the way. As you walk in, there is this nice little kind of patio space.
Uh-huh.
That little patio is lined with Laurus nobilis.
That's right.
The Bay Laurel. You could walk over there right now, snap one of those off, and make a nice soup on this lovely fall day.
I often do.
Do you really?
Yes.
Ah, brilliant.
I love just snapping one off and just like crushing it in my hands and smelling my hands,
it's
like Superstar.
So good. Yeah. It's like you're getting a kick out of something.
Yeah.
It's like sweet bay is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a quintessential smell, isn't it?
It's great.
So this tree is very closely related to that tree,
okay,
the one that we are talking about. And it generally is a bigger, taller variety because our species, which I think is really cool, grows in this forest. It's called the Laura Silva. And it's these mid-montane forests that grow up where it becomes very humid on these islands. So if you are walking around and you see this tree planted, it's probably going to be a kind of sprawling-ish, multi-stemmed, shrubby thing.
Mm.
You go to these forests, and they are these single-stemmed, gargantuan trees up to like, like I think I read 20 to 40 meters in crazy spots.
In the Silva, the Laurel Silva?
Yeah, in this forest. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah, it can get huge.
So they just need to be free, and then they can really thrive.
Exactly.
Don't box them in.
Well, it's a thrive, but also we're going to talk about it a little bit more.
Wow.
It's a pretty unique situation that they're growing in.
Okay.
And they've been growing in that unique situation for something like, some of them, 600 years.
Jeez.
Yeah. This is a tree that you look at and it kind of was like, that's weird. Oh my God.
Hmm.
That's weird. The whole thing about it's really weird. And
interesting.
I cannot wait to tell you all about it.
Well, Casey, let's get into it.
So generally speaking, it gets between about 15 and 25 meters tall.
Oh, meters.
Yeah. So
good.
You can get up to about 100 feet-ish.
That's like, pretty good.
It's going to be in that area, right?
Yeah.
So pretty extraordinary. Maybe a little bit closer to 80 feet. Big trees. And they grow upwards because this whole forest is very dark and dense and very much in like the world's most perfect conditions.
Yeah.
So everything grows up.
If you want to survive, you got to go straight up.
You got to go up. So they've been going up for a long time. They generally have a rounded crown. They have this cool stem, though. And this is something that I like about both the one that we know and love that's planted around here, Laurus nobilis, and Novo canariensis.
Yeah.
Its bark has lenticels, but it's kind of a gray tan bark.
Oh, wow. Casey's turned his computer. Will you zoom in on that?
I can.
You always say you can't.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You have finally.
Check that out.
Hit Command Plus a couple times, Case.
Oh, God, Alex.
Do it for me. Come on, man.
Command Plus.
Yeah, baby. Oh, that's perfect.
Is that it? Is that what you want?
For our audio listeners, it's the cookies.
The picture has gotten no bigger.
Yeah, this
just
isn't working.
Just all the things around the picture.
I do see it, Casey. I also have a computer right in front of me.
You know, yeah, we got to get you. We got to get you to use computers one of these
yeah,
days.
Yeah, I'll. You know what? I have my rotary phone, and that's good enough for me.
Okay, I guess that's all you can ever ask for.
I can call Cheryl on Sunday night. that's all I need.
About the newest picture film. So it has, it's like this gray bark, but its lenticels are almost like warts that come out.
Wow.
So it's like has this very warty texture going down with these lenticels that kind of pop out and kind of develop slight horizontalness to it. So they're like, they're not exactly a central point, and that's it. They're kind of points where they look like they've been smeared a little bit to the left and the right.
Yeah.
So they have this like interesting, very like horizontally defined texture on this vertical column that is, you know, gray, tan kind of thing.
It's not completely unlike, you know, prunus bark.
Yeah, I don't think it's very far away. But yeah. Keep in mind, of course, this is loris, so they're not even closely related.
I understand that. Okay. But I'm saying, you know, we've talked about how... prunus has all of the false...
The lenticels going that way.
Yeah. Or the isn't prunus the family with all the false laurels and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yes.
Correct. So I guess I was just making a mental connection. This also looks like its fake cousin.
I think everything looks like loris. That's what I am coming to terms with today.
Okay.
Because it is not the only tree that grows in this forest, but we're only going to describe one, and then we'll talk about the others in a second.
You know what loris says? Is it... Just got one of those faces.
I just got one of those faces. Must be a good-looking guy. Anyway, that's what I say when anyone says that.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you look just like some other person. I'm like, hey, you must be a good-looking guy.
That's classic.
Very classic.
A classic bit.
I feel good because it also lets everyone laugh and walk away. Because I'm like, this information means very little to me, but thank you. So it is generally, of course, it's going to have a nice tall straight trunk when it's growing out in the big, nice forest. It does have suckers, though. That's the same thing that the other one has.
Suckers.
It sends up. A sucker is a shoot that comes up from the roots.
Oh.
It just pops up. There's no good reason that it's called a sucker, and I don't think it's necessarily bad. It's just a thing that a lot of plants do.
Okay.
So because it's growing up in the understory, it really is not going to be putting out a lot. They're not going to be doing a whole lot. And of course, leaves, if they don't produce enough to survive, then the tree's like, I'm not going to feed you, and they die.
Yeah, it seems like a financial risk that the tree doesn't need to make.
Exactly. It'll take the risk for a second, and it'll pop that bud. But if that bud doesn't start producing, it just stops feeding them.
Smart.
So its leaves are alternately arranged down the stem, and they're very small, and they have what's called a drip tip. So they're, generally speaking, they are about maybe 4 inches long. They have wavy margins, but the margins are also very smooth, so they're entire.
Cool.
So they do have these waves, so they undulate.
Yeah, we talked about like a ridged chip.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, it's just like on that outside. Yeah. It's not very symmetrical, though. I don't think I mean, it's symmetrical, but the waves themselves aren't happening at a uniform part,
sure.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And these are also waves looking from the top. So there's crenulations, which would be like little half circles around the edge of a leaf. So that'd be a crenate margin.
Okay.
Versus a serulate margin, where those are like sharp and serrated like a knife.
Okay.
This has neither of those, but if you look at it from the top or the side, then it looks like it's created these waves, so you can really tell the difference. It's like the leaf got a little bit wet, and now it's just a little wrinkly on the side, you know?
Yeah,
that's what it looks like to me.
We've also talked about those waves kind of looking like the leaf has a little too much extra material.
Yeah, but it jams it in anyway.
Yeah, so it kind of creates like a pleat.
Yes, exactly. You got it right.
Yeah.
So they're really nice leaves, but they're simple. They're very leathery. They're evergreen leaves, like most of the things in this forest. They are maybe, like I said, 4 inches long with this long tip. Like the tip comes and then goes whoop, and then immediately comes out. We call it a abruptly acuminate tip.
And so you said it has a drip tip.
Exactly. And this is something that I've read about for a long time, and everyone says, "Oh yeah, a drip tip like the laurel forests." And I'm like, what does that mean?
Oh.
Why does everyone just say it like it's so commonly understood?
We run in completely different circles.
Well, yeah, this is the bar talk that I see. Going to a conference, everyone's just like, yeah, you know, you get it. And Alex, that is true. Well, so these funny. are There's one last thing that I thought was curious about these leaves is they have a gland that is situated right where the midrib and the veins come out.
A gland.
Yeah. So I can't zoom in this. You're going to have to click yourself.
Yeah, I will.
But it looks almost like a blister where the central main vein in the leaf, wherever it has a secondary lateral vein come off, there's like a little, ball, like a little ballooned space.
Wow.
Just right there. And that is apparently a gland that this this one has, and others that are closely related to it or that you might confuse it with do not have that.
Interesting.
So, there's your ID characteristic.
Good ID.
Now, this is...
Oh, I see that, Casey.
Okay, you do.
Wow.
No, this is great, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little blister.
Yeah, I saw it, and I was like, well, that's a very good thing to note. And then I kept reading, and it says, a good thing to note is this. I'm like, hey, nice. So now, of course, if you squeeze and you crush these leaves, Alex, you're going to get a lovely sweet scent.
Oh, yeah. Is it like other, is it like bay laurel?
It is. It's very, very similar to bay laurel.
I get a little confused because we in the culinary world, you call that bay. Like bay leaf.
Yes,
not
it's a bay leaf.
Laurel leaf, right?
Right? Yeah, that's a good point.
But bay is like the prefix.
Yeah, it's a bay laurel.
So.
Sweet bay.
So other laurels smell like what we call bay.
At least the true laurels.
I will say, laurel is bay.
Laurel is bay. What's
up? Okay, I got you.
Thanks, Alex. So the flowers that then pop out are these very small little white flowers that pop out in the axil. So where the leaves are connected, that's where these little flower heads come out. And they're these teeny tiny little fragrant white, yellowish, greenish flowers that come out in the springtime.
They look a little utility.
Yeah, they kind of do. They kind of are. Yeah. It's not,
they're not
the main
that attractive.
Thing. They don't really jump out. They're not like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just there. You have to look really close to find them. So I think they're like spectacular for insect level things. That's my guess.
Like an insect would be like blown away by it.
Exactly. It's at the scale that an insect's like, now that is nice. Yeah.
But you or I.
Yeah, we'd look at it and be like, what is this, a flower made for ants?
They're like, yes, we love it.
Yes, this is great. We love this. Back off, person.
Yeah, since when was that a bad thing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Zoolander really didn't have the ant. I guess it would be the ant lobby down there, making sure that everyone knew that the ants need schools too.
It was a different time, Casey.
It was a different time.
He also wore blackface in that movie.
Yeah, well, that was because he was in the mines. Right. Again, a different time. So you're not going to see those flowers, Alex, on every tree because it's a dioecious species.
Aha, two houses.
Two houses. One makes the pollen, one has the seeds.
Cool.
And that is how they've separated their duties.
Fair enough.
Again, it's another time. Nowadays, any kind of plant can do whatever it wants.
Any plant could be monoecious.
Yeah, thank you.
And I believe that down the lines, if we keep fighting, someday we will find a monoecious laurel.
We will. It's just completely gone rogue. You know what? The society is just suffocating.
I reckon it will happen with most plants, don't you think?
Actually, it's something I've been meaning to research, is that there are theories, and people have asked this question, why are there monoecious versus dioecious trees?
Yeah.
What is the evolutionary basis of making that choice one way or the other?
Well, it's to prevent from self-pollinating, right?
Yes. I believe that has to do with it, but it also kind of puts all your eggs in certain baskets.
Yeah.
So if you think about it in terms of millions of years, that could be a really bad thing.
Totally.
Where if for whatever reason you are growing nowhere near the opposite sexed tree, it could be a big challenge.
Yeah, evolutionarily, it's not that smart.
Yeah, so someone brought this up as an evolutionary thing, and I was like, oh my God, I keep forgetting, literally everything is evolution. So why did this happen?
Right.
So I will get back to you on that, Alex.
It wouldn't happen for no reason.
Exactly. It would develop because of some pressure that essentially said, this is a more better way for me to compete in this exact area, in this exact condition.
And very successfully.
Clearly so, right? And I believe it's been followed, maybe not the monoecious versus dioeciousness, but every other thing about this tree is just the archetype for what all the other trees around here do.
Wow.
Now, before we get too far, the fruit is a fleshy drupe.
Oh, good.
Again.
I was hoping it would be.
What was our last tree? It was a palm, and it had a fleshy drupe.
Wow.
Date palm.
It's something about the Canary Islands, huh?
I guess you're right, because, Alex, Oh my God.
What?
This feels like the right time because you know what? Oh our God. Tree, it's great. It's got a nice little seed in this little thing. It looks like a little droop. It's, you know, okay, cool. It's a little blackish. It looks like a little olive.
Where are you going with this?
They, on this island, on these islands, they have at least four or three other trees that grow in almost the exact same way. Like, I mean, down to a T.
Including fleshy droops?
Yeah, exactly. They have fleshy droops because they're in the same family. They're very, very close in terms of relation. In fact, one is nested within the other. So it's like this one is a derivative of that one.
Oh.
These are maybe derivatives of the actual laurel. But I didn't sadly get down all the way into that granular of detail in terms of like the phenology of all these different laurel family plants.
Okay.
On this island, they have three other kinds of trees. And they call them the same kind of forest. So you have the till Laura Silva, which is where one of the biggest trees is called the till tree, which is Akatia fotens.
Hmm.
Now, not to be confused with Akatia, or rather Ocotillo, which is a very spiny, horrifying plant that grows down in Mexico and like the southwest United States.
Different.
Yeah, it's just like they look like sugarcane with no leaves and only spikes.
Hell yeah.
They're horrifying.
Great.
I've ran into a few of them. They're not fun.
Oh, geez.
So not to be confused with that. This is called the till tree, the till Laura Silva. Then there's the Venhatico Laura Silva, which is the Madeira mahogany, which is Persia indica. Now, are you familiar with Persia, Alex?
Persia.
Yeah.
I don't think I am. Is that named after Persia?
It might be, yes, but for no good reason. Well, I guess I don't know. I didn't look into it.
I guess I don't know.
Persia is the genus that we know better as the avocado.
Oh.
So this is a teeny tiny little avocado
native
to these funny little islands.
Wow, how about that?
Then there is the Barbusano Laura Silva, which is, this is the scientific name. I'll give you the whole scientific name. A-P-O-L-L-O-N-I-A-S. Apollonius, which I believe is the name of like an ancient Greek thinker or something like that.
I've got Apollonia's Pizzeria in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you're close. Let's go beyond that. So here's the epithet. See, this is why this is genus versus species. Now we're going to get down to it.
Let's get down to
it. All right, it's B-A-R-B-U-J-A-N-A.
Barbujana.
Is that what you would say?
I would say Apollonius Barbujana.
Okay, that's what we're going to call it. There is your other one. So they literally call it a Barbusana Laura Silva.
Oh, yeah.
So all of these, every single one of these plants is also in the laurel family.
Okay.
They also have evergreen leaves with a small little drip tip.
Yeah.
And they have the same little droop berries that are coming out. They're not technically berries. They're droops. I know. You get it. So their little fruit that's popping out looks almost exactly the same, but you can see differences in like how it's botanically set up. So we know they're different species. They're different genre entirely.
Wow.
But they're all within the same family.
And they all found a home on these islands.
They did. Now, I'm glad you asked. How did these islands come to be, Alex?
Well,
I guess you said Casey.
When God wants to create a new island.
Mm-hmm. He starts a volcanic reaction.
Yeah, by
way down.
By plucking a hair out of Satan's head, which makes him angry.
Ooh, and then volcanoes go, yeah. Now that is the story we're telling kids. Yeah, so these islands are all volcanic.
Okay.
They came out of, I think, a hot spot is what I read. So similar to like how Hawaii has happened, where there's just like this hot spot in the crust.
Right.
There's also a bunch of tectonic plates right there, where there's the Africa plate, there's the European plate, and there's the North American plate. And there's also stuff going on in terms of them splitting. So right now, I believe the Atlantic Ocean is getting larger by X amount of centimeters every year, because the plate in the very middle is slowly but surely getting wider.
Oh.
So because that's happening, there's still volcanism all over the place. So these 20,000-foot volcanoes.
Wow.
That's what we're dealing with, but we only see the top couple thousand feet.
Oh, it's like icebergs.
Exactly. All the rest of it is underneath the ocean.
Interesting.
Apparently, one of the volcanoes on these islands, I can't remember which one, it would be the third largest volcano, I think, when they were comparing like underwater ocean kind of volcano.
Yeah.
Because they're measuring it from the ground where it starts.
Sure.
Not the level of the ocean.
But it's not on the ground. So it's like...
Yeah, it's under...
Or it, I guess it has ground.
I don't really know how they make that decision, you know? Where is the ground?
I'm not
in
interested to find out.
Alex, actually, I got a great Wikipedia article. Let me just read this. Now, so this is a giant volcanic kind of archipelago. Here's another question.
Oh, geez.
How do you pronounce that?
I say archipelago.
All right. This is what I'm going to try to say, but for whatever reason...
But I like archipelago. That's fun.
My brain cannot decide which one.
It sounds more Greek. Archipelago sounds like a Greek philosopher.
All right.
You have Plato, you have Socrates, you have archipelago.
Yes.
So are these active volcanoes, Casey?
They are still. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Not as active. They're not like spewing out lava, but they're still doing stuff.
They're not dormant.
No, I don't think technically. Maybe a few are because as hotspots work, there's a hotspot that exists as the plates move over the top of it.
Yeah.
The hotspot stays there, which is why Hawaii is like slowly pulled out.
Oh,
you know?
Geez.
It's because it used to be there. Then it moved over a little bit and then a new volcano started coming up. So you have this long chain.
You know, the Earth is actually quite terrifying when you think about it.
Yeah, quite dynamic, too.
And it's sort of like an evil miracle that we're all here, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. That's a nice way to put it. Our lives are just evil miracles.
Casey, you know, I have kind of a volcano question.
Ooh.
I know you're a bit of an expert.
Yeah, yeah, what do we got?
I'll be throwing you under the bus here. Well, I'm familiar with... There's a Vesuvius.
Yeah, okay.
In Italy.
Sure.
I think.
I've heard of it.
Is that in Italy? Yeah.
Yes, I believe.
Is that what
it
I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
So the tomatoes that are grown in the volcanic soil at the foot of Mount Vesuvius are like world famous for their flavor.
Really?
Okay. It's a huge thing.
Okay.
And everybody says it's in the soil, you know?
Yeah.
It's like New York pizza. It's in the water. Those Vesuvius tomatoes are in the soil.
Yeah.
San Marzano. I think that's where the San Marzanos come from.
Oh, I see.
So my question is, volcanic soil, what does volcanic soil have in it that helps plants really like juice up?
Ooh.
And does it happen to these trees?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry that's such a, it's a bit of an in-depth question that you had no time to prepare for.
I had no time.
But what's your snap judgment?
Well, I know that in volcanoes, there's like the soil tends to be ashy. And so I can't remember if ash goes, it affects the pH of the soil.
Sure.
So I cannot recall I grow things, but I don't know the best soil for a tomato. So it might be that it's like very hot because tomatoes like it hot. They want to be like roasted in the sun while they are still cooking. It's well-drained soil, surely, because if it's volcanic, then there's lots of pumicey ash kind of stuff, and water just kind of goes through very quickly.
Tomatoes are also very acidic, so I'm wondering if an acidic soil is good for tomatoes.
I'm wondering that, too, because they also developed, they're all from the Andes, which are another volcanic mountain chain in South America.
That's where tomatoes are originating from?
Yeah, they are a South American species.
Wow.
Just like potatoes also.
Oh.
So the fact that the Italians are known for tomatoes.
A bit of stolen valor.
Stolen valor.
Or as we say in Italy, I can't.
So this laurel forest, Alex, is really unique in a couple different ways. One thing I was very fascinated by is where they're located.
Mm.
They're also somewhat stratified because they're located off of the coast of Africa and a little bit further south, like off of Morocco.
Oh.
And even the, there's kind of this, a bunch of these chains. There's the Canary Islands, there's Madeira, there is the Azores, and there are Cape Verde Islands.
Just down the way from Casablanca.
Just down the way.
We were talking about that movie earlier today.
We sure were. But it's on the mind is what it is.
That's right.
So all of these...
Zeitgeist.
It is. It's
sorry.
In Zeitgeist.
I love that.
All of these different plants, or all these different islands, have all these unique plants. The islands have never been connected to the mainland because of where they've come from. So everything has come over
there. That's why the significance of them being volcanic is important, because they came up from the crust, they didn't break off from the continent.
Yes, precisely. Okay. Yeah. So they've come up, everything has come over there, which means that they've developed in this really like cut off world.
Very isolated.
Yeah. This forest, this same kind of Laura Silva, used to go all the way across southern Europe, northern Africa, the Mediterranean, probably as far as almost the other side of the Middle East.
Wow.
And you can still find plants growing in this area that you'd be like, wait, what? They have their own species of juniper, pistachio, the obvious our Canary Island date palm, yes, which we know of, as well as a draconia or a dracaena, that same dragon tree.
I love this.
There's sometimes those that are kind of popping up here and there in these like drier forest
and these,
areas.
And these are all branded under the Canary Island name.
For the most part, yeah. They also have an endemic olive species, which is Olive serraciformis. I'm sorry, Olea serraciformis.
You know what I love about this, Casey?
What?
This reminds me of like, you know, a local, like a boot, like kind of a trendy local restaurant.
Uh-huh.
They'll be like, this is our take. Actually, I can think of a perfect example. Canard. Do you know Canard?
No, but you've told me about
it's
it.
It's a French place, but they do a steamed
French for duck.
That's right, Casey. They also own Le Pigeon, which is another bird.
Ah, French for the pigeon.
they do a little steamed burger, their take on a White Castle burger, right?
Oh,
but
I see.
It's that same style, but it's like their own take on it.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. Canary Island, all these are all like Canary Island's take
on
this. The dragon blood tree.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. Well, this is it's
boutique.
It is. It's a boutique place.
Yeah.
And all of these different plants are all stratified up the island as you get from sea level up to like alpine, like, you know, maybe up to 5,000 feet elevation or higher.
Okay. Stratified.
Yeah,
kind of in rings of growth.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Once you get up to a certain level, the conditions change, and now you have a layer of this kind of forest.
I gotcha. Cool.
Then you go up, you have the layer of this kind of forest. So they have like coastal scrubs in a thermophilous forest layer, which is essentially where it gets very hot. So you have these hot-loving thermophilous plants.
Oh, and thermophilous.
I also learned a word. Speaking of Phyllis.
Wow.
Phyllis.
Is that your Michael Scott?
Yeah, I think so.
That's great.
Ombrophilic.
Ombrophilic. Let's see. Ombro, ambro, A-M-B-R-O.
It starts, it's O-M-B.
Oh, O-M-B.
Yeah. O-M-B-R-O.
Is that like ombre, like a gradient?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. What is this?
Maybe it is, I guess. I'm not sure. It means it's plants that love to grow where there is a mass amount of rain.
Oh.
So our temperate rainforest out here is an ombrophilic forest.
Wow.
So our trees are ombrophilic as well. So you go from the thermophilic forest to the ombrophilic forest.
Oh, so ombro is rain.
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, like the effect. What's that effect called?
Oh, that's the orographic effect.
Oh, not quite.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Hey, they both start with an O, though.
They do. They both start with an O. What else do you want from us here?
That's
what
a Dumb and Dumber thing. It's like, I knew it started with an O.
That's true, it is.
That was way off.
Well, so these trees all grow up, and then as you get higher, then you get the Canary Island pine, which grows up in this higher area.
Oh, pine.
Yes, pine. Yeah,
oh,
Alex, you
I'm
looked
so
at me
sorry.
Like I was saying the wrong tree. I was like, what? You're going to catch me saying the wrong tree again. You're good at this. Well, it's this forest.
Wow.
And so as you go high, you kind of get this, whatever. It's, you know, you get high up, you get pines and junipers, whatever.
Okay.
You go lower down, and it's kind of more pastures. They've cleared land for agriculture and things.
Mm.
But right in this certain area, everything is so dense and steep. There apparently, especially in a national park on Madeira, they protect it as a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Wow.
A 90% untouched, perfect primary forest of these trees that have not changed in terms of their ecosystem type for at least several hundred thousand years.
Oh.
Very likely moving more towards the millions.
Oh my God.
They've just been sitting there as long as these volcanoes came up, and I couldn't find an exact date. One of my sources said that the islands started to pop up in the Miocene, so between like 5 and 23 million years ago.
Holy shit.
It's a pretty big range of time.
Yeah,
that's
a chunk.
These trees, because they have been growing on this what used to be high, very humid area of this, what we now think of as like a kind of Mediterranean climate. Like,
yeah,
it defines the climate of like central Southern California.
Right.
Very dry with only certain types of rain, a very not humid subtropical forest.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
And now, so now only this high elevation area on these islands has that forest maintained, either A, not been cut down,
yeah,
or B, the climate has not changed significantly that they've been able to thrive. So it's a relic forest that you can find nowhere else on Earth for one reason or another.
Kind of just trapped in time.
It's just trapped in time. And Alex, the best part about this is that it's extraordinary. It's not just like, yes, the forests of Pacific Northwest are a relic. There's a bunch of old species. And we're like, yeah, great, really cool. But it's like, you have thousands of miles of these forests all over the place. We've cut down most of them. It's a tragedy, but we still have a bunch left that are really great. And these national parks and certain spaces that we haven't cut down.
This is such a small amount of land has these trees.
Yeah, a tiny little space. Now, it's unique. Enough. It's on all these islands, you know, it's several hundred square kilometers. Like, it's not a trivial amount of space. But if you look at, say, Western Oregon and compare it to these islands, mm-hmm. you'll be like, oh my God, that's vastly different wow. in size. And they're still there.
That's
they're
amazing.
Still crushing it. And they're so unique. You can't find trees growing like that. Even if you take that same tree and you move it somewhere else, they don't have the same super tall, dense forest.
Yeah.
That's very dark.
They grow shrubby.
Yeah. And there's one other thing, Alex. Hmm. My friends who went there, they said, you got to go. It's amazing. So I said, all right, well, cool. Looked it up. They have what's called a cloud forest.
Oh, there. Yeah. I love cloud forests.
And a lot of this is that same cloud forest because as you go up to a certain elevation, it's subtropical, but you have now the orographic effect where you get a little bit more rain.
Yeah.
On the north side of most of these mountains is where you find a lot of this really moist, humid, subtropical, dense forest. That subtropical dense forest then has clouds that come in and just sit. They just hang out in the clouds.
That's so cool.
For a huge amount of time. So much so where you can have like a photographer come out there, wake up in the morning and take like this ghostly image shot.
Yeah.
Wherever they have had like, you know, sheep or some other grazing animals have come out where they've gone over and they graze all the local small things, or maybe they've cleared out the forest, but they've left like individual trees.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find pictures of these like ghostly looking pasture lands that have one 600 year old laurel tree just kicking it. It's maybe 30 feet tall, but it's like this tiny little monolith. And then over there is another monolith, and they're like crooked and they've been beaten to hell for 100 years. Most of these trees, like these really ancient ones, between 600 and 800 years old.
Wow.
It's this. Who knew this was here?
The people of the Canary Islands?
I guess so, yeah.
That's wild, Casey. I before we go to break, I have a kind of a thought experiment.
Yeah.
How terrified. I think about this forest that has been largely untouched and unchanged for what you claim to be could be millions of years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know that the trees are different. They're not million-year-old trees.
Right, yeah.
So that's slightly different, but I feel like walking into that place, I would just become like terrified.
Yeah, like it's
like a primordial
so
fear. Yeah. Like this is before I'm seeing too much. I'm like, this is too. The energy is too ancient. I mean, it's beyond ancient. It's primordial.
I think you're onto something there because you can imagine. I feel like your ancient kind of instincts would kick in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I remember this forest. Like yourself, you don't, but your instinctual ape brain remembers it somewhere.
Your ancestral stuff.
Yeah, because this was in that area where the first human certainly went through forests like this a couple hundred thousand years ago.
Wow.
Then you, I would be willing to bet, Alex, are not far off in that your brain is like, I remember there's jaguars in here and really poisonous snakes.
Maybe that's why I would be afraid.
Yeah. Like, I think that's exactly it. I mean, you've heard the theories about like why when you take a, like your fingernails on a chalkboard, like people really have a visceral reaction.
Oh, yeah.
To that.
I don't know this theory.
Well, people have theorized that is because anciently, way back in the time of humans being like not predators, but prey to certain things, where that would be like the screech of a bird or another animal that as soon as it happens, we'd be like, oh shit, something's here or something's going really wrong. I need to react.
That's interesting.
And you're just wing right then.
I my favorite theory like that is that the reason that you and I love crunchy, salty snacks like chips and things, pretzel sticks, is that you know, our ancestors and many people today, but you and I, it's not a part of our culture to eat insects.
Oh, I think you told me this,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, is that it's reminds our ancient brain of eating a little crunchy cricket.
A little crunchy cricket.
Yep. Mm-hmm. A little salty snack. Hey, Case, we got to go for a break. But that was our discussion of the Canary Island Laurel. We'll be right back with our review of this laurel right after this. Alex here. Here's a little something about me. I love to be cozy. Coziness is of utmost importance to me, and I am in a constant search for coziness. And that is why we present to you Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes luxurious bedding and clothing products. And what do I mean by luxurious? Let me tell you this. I now have Cozy Earth sheets on my bed. I wear a full Cozy Earth sweatsuit to bed, and I have been getting the best sleep of my life. It is quite literally the softest material I've ever put on my body, and my skin is so happy in it. I usually have a little bit of a sensory thing. I don't like things touching my skin. Clothes are tough, but with Cozy Earth, I am treated to superior softness, unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave. This is a real endorsement. It's the most comfortable material to ever grace my birthday suit. And guess what? You deserve this coziness too. So treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And you know what? Completely Arbitrary listeners, A little inside detail here. You all get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. That's TREES for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now you go and get cozy.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
As long as it's in MTEL from, you know, where, you know, or Oregon.
That's right.
That's what I'm focused
good
on.
Good old Oregon-made Intel computer chips.
Exactly.
Welcome back.
Welcome out to Oregon. We got Yamhill County here, and we just dig right in the ground. You get Silicon Valley chips. It's just like that. Mm-hmm.
They come bubbling out of the ground like that black tea.
Well, except it's more like a medium gray with some shiny bits in it. It's very square in profile.
And they're hard.
They're really, really hard.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary.
Sorry, that was just us imagining that where Intel is outside Portland, they just mine. They just dig in the soil like they're getting potatoes.
Yeah, I like the idea of them sifting for them.
Yeah, right?
Like panhandles.
Just singing a song about the Southland.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. We let our break time banter bleed into the episode. That's
we
fun.
Did. It's bad recording, Alex.
Bad podcasting.
Yeah, we're sorry, everyone.
But it's too late now. That was our discussion of the Canary Island Laurel.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yes.
And now it is time.
And for, now.
It is time for a review of the Canary Island Laurel.
So, one thing, just before we get into it,
wow.
I just want to know
the fuck?
What your opinion is. There's also another name for this that I believe is in Portuguese.
Exciting.
It's Loro. L-O-R-O.
I've seen this, yeah.
Okay, you've
I
seen
like
it too?
That. Yeah, I saw it on the show notes.
Okay, because I was looking at it and I was like, you know, I get it, I like it, but
Loro.
I couldn't find another thing, and I wasn't sure if everyone would get it, because I think it might just be Portuguese for laurel.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know for sure.
There's I like
also,
it.
In Spanish, it's Laurel Canario.
Oh, yeah. I also like that.
That's what made me say, well, if it's Laurel Canario, that just means it's the canary laurel.
Yes.
But we wouldn't say canary. It's not, it would be like, it doesn't flow correctly in our brains. We'd be like, the canary laurel? What? And we'd go think about the bird. So now we got,
yeah.
So I made that editorial choice.
I think it's a fine one.
Before we get into the review, I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, that will weigh into my score.
That's why I thought so.
And here's how the review works. We're going to give some final thoughts on this tree. And then we're going to give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor out of pity. Casey.
Only because we can.
As our resident expert, we will begin with you, my friend. Sorry. Oh, wow. Casey just took a grand sip of water.
I did, Alex, because I need to wet my palate.
Wow.
Before I get into this.
Let's hear it.
I think this is a cool tree.
Yeah.
But I think that the tree itself makes the forest, but the forest is the thing that I'm like, what?
I feel you.
It is home to a huge amount of endemic species.
Yeah.
The way most, like, islands that are distant, but not too distant, but are also just a little too distant are, you
kind
know?
Kind of in that sweet spot.
That's exactly right. So they have this wild amount of trees that are relics of this other world, this other time, you know? And I was trying to imagine, as I was trying to conceive of how I'm going to rate this tree, how do I want to see this tree? I want to see it today, and I want to see it as this gigantic form of a tree that doesn't generally get gigantic.
Right.
In my associations, that's pretty cool. I like big trees. So if you give me a medium-sized tree that every now and then becomes a big tree.
Yeah.
If you put it in its perfect relic conditions and you leave it alone for a couple hundred years, I'm on that. That's
for sure.
Fantastic.
Pretty cool.
I think the bark is kind of fun, just for no good reason, you know? I like these little warty lenticels.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
I like that this is a tree that's not the tree that I thought it was twice.
Right.
I thought this was Laurus nobilis, wildly growing.
Yep.
I then thought, oh no, this is the Portuguese laurel, Prunus lusitanica. It is neither. It's a third thing, and there's now other five different other things that are the same thing that aren't the same thing. I love that.
It's a wild web.
Exactly. It's a dream for someone like me who everyone's like, yeah, it's a pine tree. I'm like, well, actually, it is a pine tree, but it's a very, you know, I love when there's all these nuances where everyone else who is probably, if you're a tourist, you're going to Madeira and they're like, welcome to Laura Silva. This is a laurel. This is a laurel. That's a laurel.
Yeah.
And then you go to the tropics and someone's like, yeah, there's a red mangrove. There's a white mangrove. There's a black mangrove. They're all different. They're all different forms of different trees growing in different ways, but kind of mimic one another.
For sure.
I like diving into that and looking around and having someone be like, hold on. These are all different.
You do love a good esoteric detail.
Yeah, it's you know, that's a very sweet way to put something that you could have put very, very mean. So thank you, Alex.
I could never.
So I think it's a cool tree, but I also like there's another part of my brain that really wants to imagine Europe about, let's say, I'm going to go 80,000 years ago.
Oh, geez. Okay.
You're walking through what is now southern France, Spain, North Africa, somewhere in there. And you have just come up, your family and your clan, you're migrating from Africa. You're going up to these new lands because you're hungry and you want to get away from lions and tigers and things like that. Well, maybe not tigers yet. You're actually going into tiger territory. Kind of unfortunate, but you know, out of the frying pan into the fryer.
Out of the frying pan into the fryer.
So you walk over and you are just walking through this humid tropical forest, subtropical forest, that has these giant, really strange trees where if you pull off the leaves and you break them, they have this really beautiful smell to it. And there's just like, there's long-toed pigeons all over the place. Everything is really weird. Long-toed pigeons, by the way, they're an endemic pigeon species to these islands.
Oh, cool.
Sorry. You know why they call them long-toed pigeons?
Do they have long toes?
They have one giant long toe. Alex, man, you're good.
One giant long toe?
It is. I saw pictures.
That's so funny.
It's like their middle toe is twice as big as all the rest. Great.
It's like a utility toe.
Exactly. That's meant for something. It's probably to grab all these funny berries by all the trees that have the exact same berry.
It's to open doors, Casey.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah, this is actually the door opening pigeon. So anyway, I just love the idea of walking through a place that we know today is like vastly different.
Yeah.
But imagining what it would have been like for these first, like, you know, maybe it was Homo sapiens, maybe it was Neanderthals or some other people. The people who were drawing those cave markings in Paris or in France, these like 30, 40,000 year old cave paintings, wow. They were walking through this forest, yeah, in all likelihood.
Wow.
And then as you go north, it becomes this like wild north German kind of big oak trees and beech trees in this crazy forest where the trees are no longer these small spindly things growing tall. They're massive, huge things that are growing tall.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where everyone's like, well, if you could ever go back in time, I'm like 30,000 years ago, just before we really ruined things.
That is very niche.
Yeah, just right before. And then some time where everything's so vastly different. Meanwhile.
I'm like, send me to the 40s so I can have a real Coke.
That's all you want. I just really want to feel the zing the way they felt it back then.
That's from Peep Show. I didn't make that up.
Oh, God. Well, that is, I think, the way I want to conceptualize this tree, okay, for our review.
Wow, it better be a 10 out of 10.
It is not going to be a 10 out of 10, okay, because, you know, it has more than one stem. I think that a tree that really has the grandeur will have just a single stem. It will be a monolith, unless that single stem has been falling apart or it is like a banyan where it takes up like 100 yards.
Yeah.
That I'll give you a buy.
Fair enough.
But for this tree, in this native habitat, in this wild, crazy way that it grows, there's one short tree that's like this ghostly image of a tree in this weird field versus them growing with their homies out in the forest, growing 3 or 4 times taller, mm-hmm, in this thing that's like, this appears to be such a unique ecosystem. There's nothing else like it on Earth anymore. And this is the tree that makes it up. And they have those funny little glands that make them easy to identify.
That is really cool.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to give the Loris Novo Canariensis an 8.9.
Wow.
Right on the precipice of, damn, a 9.0. The reason it doesn't get into the 9.0,
yeah,
is because there are some things that you just compare a grand, huge, massive tree to this.
Fair enough.
It just doesn't quite get there.
That's kind of a compliment to this tree that it's like, If only it just had a big single stem, what have you lost?
Oh, I lost my hairband, but I was playing with it, and now I'm focused on you.
If only, it's kind of a compliment to this tree, I think, where like, you're at the top of your weight class.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect description, Alex. Yeah. Yes. Like, yes, you're amazing, but as soon as you go up against a redwood or a bristlecone pine, they're going to stomp you like a bug squashes, or rather as a person squashes a bug. I guess as a bug squashes a mite?
I mean, in Starship Troopers, the bugs were certainly squashing people.
That's true.
Just saying.
Okay, good point. Anyway.
Okay, 8.9 Golden Cones of Honor.
8.9 is what I'm going to go with.
I think that's great, Casey.
Loris Novo Canariensis.
The Canary Island Laurel.
Alex.
Can I get this more false weight?
Yes. No. Yeah. The weight's there.
Kind of wish I had some false weight.
Can I give you...
I like this tree. I think I'm right with you, Case, where I like this tree, yeah, but I love the forest.
Uh-huh. Did you see some of these pictures?
Yeah,
of them?
It's stunning. And I'm like, it's a little unfair, I think, because I'm like, it's like how, you know, racist white people will be like, oh, I love going to Mexico to eat the tacos, but I don't want to like, you know, talk to the people.
Okay.
So yeah. I love this forest, you know, it's so cool to look at. I'm sure I would love being there, you know, for 10 minutes. But the tree is just okay.
Wow. Really? So you're like this forest, this whole space.
Yeah.
But the tree itself, you're kind of like,
I think I can see the forest for the trees.
This is, I can't see the trees for the forest.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. Well, I'm curious where you're going to go from here.
Well, I'll just go straight to my score. So sorry, Casey. I'm giving this a 6.0.
6.0.
I'm not feeling that passionate about it.
The trees make the forest.
I understand that. But that's like, you know,
your opinion, man.
A painting is not like just made of paint.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
It's like a creative vision. It's saying something more. A forest is not just made of trees.
Yeah.
Especially, it's not just made of this one tree.
That very explicitly so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of where that's where my head's at.
Ooh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah. I think
follow-up question.
Oh, please.
So if we had the... If we were reviewing now...
Yeah.
Loris novocanariensis / Apollonius babuyana / Persia indica / Ocotea photens.
Uh-huh.
Where would you be?
I don't answer hypotheticals.
Wow.
That was our review of the Canary Island Laurel. It is time for a completely arbitrary Q&A.
Man, you're going to do so good on the Supreme Court when they start questioning you.
Yeah, imagine saying that to a judge.
Dude, no. It's the judges that say it to Senate.
Oh, I see.
When they're like, are you going to overturn Roe versus Wade? Like, I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Casey, this week, our question comes from the Patreon, as always. And this one comes from John.
Hello, John.
Hi, John. John says, if you were going to make a spinoff podcast where you covered a topic each week, what would you be interested in covering and exploring?
Follow-up clarification question. Point of order, Alex? Uh-huh. It can't be about trees?
It cannot be about trees.
Huh.
So now you're really stumped. That's not true. You're not a monolith. You have plenty of hobbies.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But man, do all of them just in some way.
Well, we know this. Our podcast is about the fact that everything can come back to trees.
Yeah, it's rough.
I'll go first so you have time to muse.
I appreciate this.
I have attempted to start several podcasts, but none of them has quite clicked in the way that this one just kind of came together really, really easily.
We just kind of fell into it almost.
Which I think is important to a creative endeavor. You know, if it's like walking uphill in the snow, it's like, maybe this isn't the right thing for me right now.
Maybe I don't really want to be doing this.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just like not the right time or with the right people or, you know, it's not the right variation of the idea.
Yeah.
But I've thought about a podcast with my friend Louie about TV pilots.
That's right. I remember the name of that one as well. I mean, I don't want to say it right here because then someone's going to copy it. Right?
Oh, yes, that's right. Mm. Where we watched pilots of pilot episodes of TV shows and talked about, you know, how is it as a pilot? Because a pilot is sort of a unique form. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like a mid-season episodic show.
Yeah, it's like this is a pilot's the one that you're selling everybody on.
Yes.
So you're like, here's the entire theme idea. Here's our jokes. Here's our style.
That's right. And also, I would love a podcast about my friend George and I talked about a podcast about, let's see, video games in alpha.
What does that mean?
Like an indie game. An indie game studio, when they are making a game, they will put out like a really early version of it for people to play and test.
Oh.
And they'll say, hey, we'd love your feedback. Like, what do you think of it so far? What features do you want to see? Or did you encounter any bugs?
I get it. So this is alpha compared to like, oh, we're doing beta testing.
Yes. Gotcha. It's pre-beta.
Yeah.
Which is pre-release.
Yeah. I call it, it's submissive testing. Is that game going to act up? Anyway, sorry.
I make my character name in any game I play Daddy. Anyway, I love playing like really early alpha games because they're all made by like dudes like me sitting in their basement making a single game.
We're not in a basement, Alex. They're dudes like you in their own basement. I see.
But those are my like my big interests, music, TV, video games.
Yeah.
And then now trees.
Okay.
Casey, have you been thinking? You've been listening pretty intently.
I've been trying to listen. But I've also been taking some time to be like, what are the things that I like that aren't trees explicitly?
You have kind of like your big like cornerstones of your hobbies.
I like bicycling quite a bit, but the thing about bicycles and biking is that I never have gotten into it the way like my roommates, for instance. They bike everywhere. all the time. I used to, I still do, but now I actually like have to do like 10 things at once. It's like, take all of these things in this, all these boxes over to here,
right.
Send those, pick up stuff from Alex's place, go back to my place, go grocery shopping if everything works out well, and then finally get back home.
It just makes more sense to drive sometimes.
It does, yeah, because I'm doing like 10 different things at once.
Are they like hardcore like cycle enthusiasts? Like yeah. They have the gear all over their bodies?
Not like gear in the way that you're thinking, but gear like, I have rain gear if I'm riding in the rain, and I have like 5-10 different bikes depending on what it is I'm doing.
Wow.
And also, don't own cars, or own cars and drive them only if thou shalt must drive. Like you're going to California kind of thing. So it's one of the two.
Even then.
So I really like biking, but I don't have it as such a high like interest where I can talk about trees backwards and forwards for hours.
Yeah.
Most people might be aware of this by now.
But you just like to ride a bike.
Exactly.
It's not like you're really fascinated by cyclists. Exactly. And the
making of them and all the brands and how they fit together. I got lots of friends who are into that. So I don't think I could do it about bikes. I like Frisbee, but same thing. Yeah. I'm not like someone who is like dialed into everything about it. What are the moves? How do you analyze this? Like I can barely tell what another team is doing on the field that is, if it's out of the ordinary. Other people are like so, like you know, like the soccer analyzers where they see the people on the field and they're like, they're in a 4-4-3. They're going to be doing this, blah, 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 whatever.
My thing is everybody will react to something. I'll be like, I don't even know what you guys are reacting to.
Yeah, right. 442. Just in case anyone's listening, they heard me make that gaffe.
Oh, shit. See, went right over my head.
Right, yeah. See, most everybody's hopefully too. But you know what? I really like, if I was to make a podcast, it would unfortunately have to be a little bit about trees. As a side bit, it would probably be more of a, probably honestly, urban design. And also like how, like, I guess it would be technically philosophy, but I really like historically, especially, and even now, if you kind of get me started on it, I kind of like start gearing into it, or like gearing up is not the term, but I start revving. That's it. That's my car analogy. So I really like a well-designed space, and I like critiquing spaces that are not well designed.
Cool.
And I don't mean this in a way that I'm like, oh, your apartment, Alex, if you move this over here, you'd really have, you know, not like that kind of space. Like, I mean an outdoor space, like a city neighborhood. What's the difference between the city of Portland, and I mean literally almost the entire city, versus the exurbs, the suburbs outside of the city?
Yeah.
What are the differences between those things?
Yeah, or between the city of Portland and the city of Denver.
Exactly.
And which functions better as a city?
Right, and why?
And why?
What makes it better? Obviously, New York has this whole thing to it. It's like become a cultural thing in and of itself. Like, you can hate New York and you'll still remember it as this wild, amazing place because the culture is such that it's a wild and amazing place.
Yeah.
I try not to do that no matter where I go. Like, and if I do go to someplace, I try to see the beauty in it because I think it's helpful to understand, I don't know, just understand a place and be able to see, oh, this is why people live here.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. It was designed on purpose. Every place is like made intentionally.
Yes.
You know,
and I love to figure out what that intention was because most of the time it's not good. Historically, at least since maybe the 1940s and 50s, we really geared towards cars and car development. Yeah. Freeways are obviously the thing. I like that, but then also talking about like, well, how did we get to this place? You know, why are we driving cars the way we're driving cars? And a lot of these things come into like religion. I like to understand how religion has affected all these things because that's a cultural force that has affected almost everything in the world.
Certainly, in the United States.
Yeah. And this is also like, you know, why I talk about Rome all the time? And apparently, I'm not the only one to be like, you could trace almost everything in much of our culture back down to Rome. Mm. Not everything. Don't take that way.
Rome and other related topics?
Rome and other related topics, which is just, hey, here's this thing that they did in Rome and how you can see it today. Alex, that would be such a great podcast. Yeah, I totally listen to that.
I've got an idea for your exterior design podcast or your urban design podcast.
Okay.
You sit down with somebody who is like an interior designer who has more of like a visual design focus, you know, like color and shape and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, texture.
Yeah, yeah. And then you guys sort of like critique a space.
Oh,
it's gonna be like a video podcast, you know?
See, that would be great. I would like to do that as a, almost we're getting a tour, you know? Like, all right, we're gonna be dropped into this park in this city.
Sure.
Or we're gonna look at this neighborhood. Or we're gonna say, let's look at this whole city. And like, see how they drove that freeway right through there? These are the disconnects that they created. And these are the ramifications through the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
You could do it all in Google Maps.
Yeah, you could. And that's what a lot of people do with aerial shots in Google Maps.
Yeah.
And they could say, look how shitty this city is now. Like Detroit
what
used to be.
What a shithole.
Exactly. Oh man. I follow. It is called Cars Destroyed Our Cities.
Oh yeah.
And I love following them because they're just like so viciously showing photos and they point out in like color in like kind of a red shade. Two buildings in the old photos and they point them out and say, this is this building. This is this building. And you look at the photo beneath and they've matched them up in terms of scale and angle.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I see. There's the same two buildings, but then one has this giant cut of concrete and pavement and something that is dedicated strictly and exclusively to cars.
That's neat.
And then you can say, wow, look at all those buildings and the houses and the design. And then look at this. None of those things except for the design. And the design is by an engineer, not somebody who's looking at it. No offense, engineers. I love you. I work with you often.
But not like an anthropologist.
Not like an architect who's designing something or a landscape architect who says, okay, what are we doing? Our purpose is to get people around. And we want this space to be nice for people to live in. And we want it to be organized and understandable. Your roads all go out like this and they all do this.
Hey, you know,
versus a freeway where the engineers are like, well, to make it like this, we're going to need this much room and it needs to be banked at this angle and it needs to be big.
This is the power of teamwork, Casey. I know now we're very off topic, but this is the power of teamwork in that, you know, if you get one engineer to design something, they'll design it like an engineer. But if they work with an architect, then they will design it like an architect and an engineer. If you add an interior designer in there, then you've really got something.
Yeah. Now you got someone who's like, okay, now let's make this a human scale.
Thing. Yeah. And just something that's nice to be around and look at.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
Also works really well.
And if you can get all of them together and they'll redesign the entire United States, I'm for it.
Hell yeah.
So there you go.
We need to do, you know, like those HGTV shows where they'll have a team of people like, I'm a construction worker. I'm an interior designer.
And we...
they all get together and work on one thing. We need to do that with the United States of America. Get four celebrity designers.
Oh, Ty Pennington.
To fix this country.
He's doing it. We're going to move
that space shuttle.
It's just a satellite and space shuttle moves.
Yes.
We're actually pretty far away. We can't see too much of the detail, but God, the whole thing's different.
They get a skydiver sponsored by Red Bull to take a giant photo of it.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Alex.
Amazing.
Anyway.
Well, there you go. There are our podcast ideas. Please don't steal any of them.
Yeah. And also, we're so sorry for you give us an opportunity to not talk about trees. And we're like, ooh, something else.
Yeah. It's funny how it spirals out of control. I'll probably have edited it a little bit.
Nah.
If you have a question for us, join up on the Patreon. It is the best way to support this podcast. If you get to the end of your month and think, hey, you know what? Casey and Alex have brought me $5 worth of entertainment and education. Consider joining the Patreon. It's patreon.com/arbitrarypod. That's ARBORTRARY pod. We have a bunch of different tiers on there for it's a monthly subscription to help support the podcast, and you get something in return. Of course, the flagship of our Patreon is the Cone of the Month Club.
That's right.
Where we get an independent illustrator every month to illustrate a tree cone. And we get it on a sticker. We print out a info card with some interesting information on that cone. I almost said sticker. And we send it to you in the mail every month. It's something to look forward to. You build your own little cone collection. And you get a bunch of other bonuses, including access to every past cone sticker we've
all
ever had.
All of the cones.
That's right. Casey.
Alex. What another just wildly enjoyable time.
You know what? I agree, my friend.
Well, thanks.
People won't know this, but we stopped down in the middle of this recording to do a live stream. And
which you should get involved with.
You definitely should get involved. That's on the Patreon, too. And I feel like it put us in a very silly mood. I'm extremely hungry and thirsty.
Yeah, that's that's what's gotten you silly. Well, you know what?
I'm lightheaded in a hungry way. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. We will see you next time. Goodbye.
See you later. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.